Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, very near your winter chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing.
Come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 3 today, and I think we're going to finish up verse 18 through 21 today. We've been kind of going a little slow, but as some people have said, this is kind of the jewel crown of the whole Bible, this little section here about how Paul stops and he prays. He says he bows his knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is blessed. Excuse me, he is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in his, through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, that may be able to comprehend with what all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he finishes and says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we've talked about how Paul starts out in the verse 1, what he does is he starts to pray for them, then he stops and kind of gets off on this tangent about he's the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's for the Gentiles and doesn't want them to be troubled at that. And then he goes back in verse 14 and he says he bows his knees. So that's a posture of humility and submission to the greatness of God. And he says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That everybody, that ultimately that God is the Father. He's the ultimate Father. He's not the Father of everybody because not everybody's going to go to heaven because not everybody has trusted in Christ. That's evident from how many people we got here this morning. Some people just don't want to come to church. That he would grant you. Remember, these requests are like a telescope. They're like one on top of another on top of another. That if you don't get the first one, you don't get the second one. And if you don't get the first and the second one, the third one doesn't happen. And so they're all happen on top of each other. That it's based on this happens and this happens. If this, then that, right? It's kind of like, it just reminded me of software. When you do that, you look in software and it goes, if then, then that, you know? He says, first of all, in order that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, what does he first say? That we be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. We talked about that, that was strength for daily living, right? To overcome sin and suffering and temptation. And once you are strengthened on the inside, then that gives you the power, the ability to clean up your life. And when you clean up your life, then Christ can dwell in your hearts through faith. He can literally be at home in your life because you've got a clean house, a clean vessel, right? I mean, you don't want to go somewhere that's dirty, right? And Christ doesn't either. We walked in this little shop the other day that where we rented that U-Haul from for my son. And it was, they rent them out of these business and it was a little old dog place, dog grooming place and all, and kennel type place. Oh goodness, I walked in that place. I had to walk out. I just, it smelled so bad. I could not be at home in that place. I literally had to walk out. So Christ, our sin stinks to God, and he can't be at home unless we clean up our lives. And then he says that you'd be rooted and grounded, and we talked about that you got to go deep down into the love of God, and you got to be grounded in it. You got to know that when, no matter what you go through, that he's going to be there with you, right? Rooted speaks of depth, and then grounded speaks of a strong foundation, and our foundation's built on the rock, Jesus Christ. And then that's kind of where we got. So today we'll talk about verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So here we're talking about that we may be able to comprehend. And really that word comprehend is really to apprehend, is what he's saying, is to be able to literally lay hold of and grasp for yourself. That you're able to grab for yourself what God is wanting to show you. That you may comprehend what is this love of Christ, right? You can kind of skip that width and length and depth, and he says that you know the love of Christ. So what does he want you to do? He wants you to comprehend, to grab hold for yourself how great the love of Christ is. And he uses four terms here, that's width and length and depth and height. And literally, I guess these words may not indicate four different pieces, but I think you can break them out that way. But what it does is it breaks it out to how vast, how complete, how all-encompassing God's love is. It's for everyone, and he loves all of us. It's so thorough, and it's so hard to understand that God can love the people he loves and show us the mercy and the grace that he does sometimes. It's hard to understand that, isn't it? It's the vastness of the thing to be comprehended. You know, some things are so big that you just can't understand them. Well, Paul's praying that this thing that we don't understand, that we'll understand. And we can't understand, and we'll see in a minute, by ourselves, but it takes a supernatural understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why these other things are important before that. What does he say here? First of all, the width. The fact that the Jews and the Gentiles and all men and women are gathered up in the church, and that we need to understand that God's love is, he was speaking specifically to these people, that the love of God is broad enough, wide enough to embrace both Jews and Gentiles. But today we would bring it to our level, because we are Gentiles, and we don't really think of terms of Jews and Gentiles being in the church, but we think of in terms of, well, that guy with the long hair, and that person that looks like this, and that person that acts like that, and that person that doesn't look like us and act like us. Today we have a problem maybe with races or different things like that. You know, sometimes we tend to separate the church that way. And we shouldn't be that way, right? We should remember that everybody is part of God's plan, that everybody, God loves us, and he wants every single one of us to be saved, right? We try to remember when somebody doesn't look like us and act like us, and they don't glorify God with the way they live and they act wrongly, what do? We try to pray for that person, right? I remember a story about the Beatles years ago. That I heard a pastor tell this story, that the Beatles came in a little airport. The youth pastor and all of his people, they gathered a little rally together. And they got there and they protested, and they got them a barrel, and they threw their albums in there and they burned them and protested. And years later they were asking, or somewhere around that time, they were asking George Lennon, I guess it was, I can't remember which one, wrote that song, "When I Was Younger, So Much Younger Then, I Never Needed Anyone." But then he says, "Help, I need somebody, help," that famous song. And said, "Won't you please, please help me?" And he says, "What were you thinking about when you wrote that song?" And he says, "Literally, that was the cry of my heart." They were on top of the world as far as people said, you know, I mean, one person said one time that they were more popular than God. But, you know, money and success and all that stuff, it was pure emptiness for them, right? Because only God can fulfill your deepest needs. Money and power and drugs and whatever, all the things that they were into cannot satisfy the deepest longings. And they said, what if that youth group had told them about Christ instead of protesting and burning their albums and say, we hate you because of the way you live and the way you act? And so when we see people that aren't acting like that, we need to pray for them. Realize that's their expression of their looking for God. As somebody said, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for God in all the wrong places. Because the Bible says that all of us are looking for God, and that we have a God-shaped vacuum in our life, and the only thing that will fill that is God, right? Money doesn't fill it. Power, riches, whatever all these people out there in the jails and the prisons and living on the streets are trying to fill it with, those things don't fill it. Only God does, right? So when we see those people like that, we need to pray for them. With the orange hair and the earrings and the tattoos and all the whatever, you know, people are expressing themselves. They're looking for God through all these different things. And we need to pray for them that they'll know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that it's wide enough to encompass everybody. It's long enough that this plan of God's goes from one end of eternity to the end of eternity. The whole length and scope of God's program, that it's long enough to reach the far off people. And he says the Gentiles specifically here, and the near, the Jews, to stretch from eternity to eternity. Because, you know, he said back in chapter 2 that it was for those who were far off and those who were near, right? He was talking about the Jews. They were near to the kingdom of God, but they needed to be saved. That there's depth here, that you would know what the depth is. What is that depth? That he brought us out of that living death into a aliveness, that we were dead, now we're alive. That is deep enough to rescue all kinds of people from sin's power and grip and Satan's power. It's wide enough, it's deep enough, it's high enough that it can raise Jews, Gentiles, everybody, no matter what race, no matter how we look, no matter how we act, into the heights of heaven, that he can do it all. That's how wide and deep and long it is. And then he says that you would know. And once you comprehend how great this love is, what the width and length and depth is, that you would know the love of Christ. That's the next request. And remember, this is on top of that, that once you do these other things, that you'll know the love of Christ, right? It surpasses understanding. Mine says passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So he wants you to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. In other words, he wants us to know something that's impossible humanly to know. You got that? He says, I want you to know that which surpasses knowledge, that which is impossible to know. But the only way you can know it is through Jesus Christ, right? And so God has to give you that love. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart, right? That we love him because he first loved us. But we not only love him, but we love other people, right? That's where we get love from, because on our own, a lot of times we're not very loving. We say we are. I heard one man say a long time ago, and I think this is really true, that unless you truly are saved, you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you can't really love. That you never really loved your husband or your wife or your kids or your family unless you know Christ, because the love of Christ is a different kind of love, right? It's a supernatural love. It's loving people no matter who they are, no matter what they do. And that's why he can tell us to pray for those who are our enemies and who curse us and despitefully use us. And so he wants us to know this love that is past knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean, to be filled with the fullness of God? I think he's probably talking about just God, just everything, our whole being. I think this would kind of be along the same lines of loving the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It would just be that you're so filled with the love of God that all these things are true, that what happens? That you just want to do the will of God. And it doesn't matter about what it costs you or anything else, that you're so full of his love, so compelled or obliged by his love, that there's nothing left of yourself. I've heard people say that you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but I think all the people I've ever met that were heavenly minded, they were the earthly good ones. I think that's a wrong statement. I think you could be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good, but I don't think you could be so heavenly minded that you're not earthly good. Because if you're truly heavenly minded and you have the mind of Christ, what are you going to be doing? The things of God, right? The ultimate goal of Paul's request that his readers might be so full of the knowledge of Christ's love that we would just be full of God and love other people. So he says first that we would be strengthened, that Christ would dwell, that we'd be able to comprehend, that we would know, and then lastly, that we would be filled up. And one man said that nowhere does Paul sound such depths of spiritual emotion, arise to such heights of spiritual passion as he does right here. So let's talk about a couple of observations about this prayer, and then we'll finish up with the praise. I just want to run by a couple of things here. There's four or five of them. He says that first of all, Paul's prayer was for other saints, for their growth and edification. You know, he wanted them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Second of all, his prayer was for that, for God's purposes to be fulfilled, right? I mean, that's the kind of prayers I handed out the other day. And those were just samples. There's plenty of prayers throughout your Bible that you can take and personalize, right? That would be God's will, because these are the things that are written in his word. Third, his prayer is for what's infinite. Paul doesn't just pray for temporary things. He prays for the things that are going to happen for forever, right? When you pray for somebody, I mean, it's like when he tells you in 1 John 2:17, he says, whoever does the will of God abides forever. And whatever he does abides forever, right? Remains forever. So whatever we do for God is going to remain forever. And that's the neat thing about working for the Lord, is what we do now affects all of eternity. It's true for the unbeliever too, but in a bad way. And then Paul also prays that what is already true in these people's hearts, but he prays that they will know this and do it, right? Remember, this is a prayer not so much as knowing, but doing, right? I mean, there's a long way from laying in the bed at night or in the morning and say, I need to get up and do this, 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 and this, and then getting up and actually doing it, right? If I could do everything I planned in the middle of the night or before I went to bed or when I woke up in the morning and get it all done, I'd be in good shape, you know? Heard about a man that they said he had tons of books that he had never written, but he never did get down to the doing of it, right? And so he had all these books in his head, but he never wrote the single one. All right, let's look at verse 20 and 21, and we'll finish up. This is the praise. What do we have here? We have the praise. And Paul, just after all this great prayer, he just burst out into praise, as you know he does often in his prayers, when he's just laying the word of God out, and all of a sudden he just burst out and praise for God. And when you know right teaching or doctrine, as people would tell you, that leads to praise as well as duty. You know, the psalmist said, how I love thy word. I love to meditate it on it, right? What does he say? He says, now to him. And I just want to break this down. And he says, now to him who is what? He's able. What is he able? He's able to do what? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. I mean, that's, notice all those things he's able. He's able to do. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. That's just blows my mind that he's thrown every action word in there he can throw at me. And then he says, above all we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. And really, you could translate that according to his power that works in us. Because Philippians 2 talks about that it is his power that works in us, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. That his power is what gives us the ability to do all these things, isn't it? And that what we talked about, and to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. How do we have strength? By having the power of the Holy Spirit, the strength of God in us. How are we able to endure? How are we able to go through all these things? Because of God living in us and through us. And so he says it's according to his power that works in us. In other words, he says it's according to that power. And that word power is that word dunamis, that we get dynamite. It's this great power that he has. Of course, they didn't have dynamite back then. But he's got this great power that works in us. It's the energy of his strength, his power, his greatness that is in us. That enables us to do the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. Only when we meet this level of faithfulness will Christ be fully glorified with the honor he deserves from the church. So the last thing he says here in verse 21 is to him. Here it is again, now to him, and then verse 21, to him be what? Glory. What does glory mean? It means honor, weight, that he deserves all the glory, right? To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. These last two verses are a prayer of praise, and we close out the last part of the first part of this letter that shows us what we need to know. And when we come back next week, we'll be looking at how we're to behave now, right? And so Paul prays this prayer, and this benediction, this closing thing, it's God-centered and it's focused on him. And he wants us to know that it's God's great power that's at work in us, right? And think about this, that Paul's confident that God is able to do far more than he had prayed. Far more than we can even imagine. Bringing the Jews, the Gentiles, whoever into the church. And God can unite us because he is so powerful, he is so mighty. You know, if the church just had a little inkling of the love. I mean, you know, the last few days I've been... got a little book, and inside of it there's some of Andrew Murray's prayers. He was, from what I understand, he was a great man of prayer. Got a little book of prayers, and I think that's where we're all weak, right, is in our prayers. At least us younger folks, anyway. I tend to be more of a doer, and it's hard sometimes to stop and pray. He's got this book of prayers, and one of the things, I know we focused on this when we were in John, and one of the great prayers that he prayed was what? That we would be one. As he and the Father and the Holy Spirit were one. And if we think about that, they never argued about their position. You know, one's the Father, one's the Son, one's the Holy Spirit. And that has to do with their roles and who they are. But you know, they never fight over who gets to be the Father and who gets to be the Spirit and who gets to be the Son. Probably none of them was fighting over getting to be the Son and get to go to that cross. But But all the time we're fighting and fussing over stuff and just worrying about what other people do. And so many times we're just not loving like God wants us to be. But God wants us to love everybody, right? I mean, think about this. Every single one of us, deep down inside, whether in just this room or outside, deep down inside, we're all human beings, aren't we? We all have the same needs, wants, pains, sufferings, problems. But so many times we get separated from people by different things, looks or color or age, or like I said, the funky hair or whatever we see that doesn't look like us, or the way people dress or don't dress right, or we just let so many things separate us from other people. But see, God wants us to love everybody. And that's the hard thing, isn't it? Is loving everybody. Sometimes, like I said before, even as Christians, we're not very lovable sometimes. That all of us have that problem. You know, some people are just unlovable all the time. But you know what? When Christ was on that cross, what was He doing? He was dying for them too, right? As the old saying says, the ground is level at the cross. That none of us are any closer to God than others, because we all stand in need of a Savior. And we're all sinners, and we can be saved by grace. I mean, you know, it's like the guy said one time. He said, you know, if we were all told to jump the Grand Canyon, some of us, you know, might could jump a little bit further, but none of us would make it, right? And it's the same way, you know, all of us are maybe trying to do good to get to God. And some of us might do a little bit better than other people. Some of us might do a lot better than some people, because some people aren't even trying. But guess what? He said even the one that jumps the best, he still can't get to God on his own. He still needs a Savior, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So let's just remember this great prayer that he says we can be strengthened with might in the inner man, that we'd be able to comprehend the width and the length and the depth and the height, that we'd be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would know this love that surpasses understanding, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And as Paul said, now unto Him who was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to His power that works in us mightily, to Him be the glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us, even though we were unlovely. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life. Lord, help us to be one as You are one, and to love others as You have said, that by this all men would know that we are Your disciples if we have love one for another. So Lord, help us to be loving to each other, to be caring, and to be one, to be unified, because that's what You are, and that's what You wanted for us. You prayed it, and positionally we are that, but practically as a church, as human beings, we have a long way to go, Lord. So that's our prayer today, Lord, and we pray that You would help us to do that because of Your power that works in us mightily. To You be the glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. 71. Amazing grace.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved. Be loved to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me." Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, "If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me." And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.